Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, so dutiful in there almost every week of the year, except when we tell him not to, which is very rare. It's the end of the year. He joins us weekly. The films Parallel Mothers, Memoria, and Jockey. You blew it with the first one, I think. Sorry. Hi, David. How are you?
That's okay, Jill. I assume you're referring to my almost having three one-word titles.
Correct.
But Parallel Mothers is indeed two words, and it's also quite a remarkable movie. So, three films to talk about today, and these are all movies coming out at the end of the year. And, of course, there are plenty of other movies that I could have talked about. For example, I could be talking about The Matrix Resurrections, except that it's junk. I could be talking about The Tender Bar, the new George Clooney movie, except that it's boring. So I decided to talk about three good movies this time around. And so here they are, Parallel Mothers and Memoria and Jockey. They're all good movies, but in very, very different ways. So let us begin with Parallel Mothers, which is the new movie by Pedro Almodovar, far and away the most important movie maker working in Spain today. He doesn't always work in Spain, but he's the most far and away the most important Spanish filmmaker at work today. Except maybe for the legendary Luis Buñuel years ago, Pedro Almodovar is probably the most important Spanish filmmaker who has ever lived. Really major, major figure in world cinema. It doesn't mean that every one of his movies is a masterpiece, but he's just done such extraordinary work over the years. A few years ago, he made a movie called All About My Mother, one of his better films, but it is totally unconnected with his new movie, which is called Parallel Mothers, or Padres Paralelas in Spanish, which is really quite a remarkable movie, quite an intricate movie, and a movie that I had really quite a wonderful time watching. Really an extraordinary film in all kinds of ways. Very, very beautiful film, and in a lot of ways, a pretty complicated movie, because it deals both with Spanish history, modern Spanish history, and with a very personal story of a couple of women who, in fact, are parallel mothers. So one of the main characters, who is played beautifully by one of Almodovar's regular collaborators, Penelope Cruz, is a photographer, and she is involved in doing some photographs for an anthropologist, and an archaeologist is really what he is. And she takes him aside at one point, and she says to him, there's something she wants to ask about. You know, after the Franco regime, the fascist Franco regime fell a few decades ago, it was not discovered, but I came to public prominence that there were people who had been disappeared, who had been killed, who had been murdered, who had been treated in all kinds of horrific ways by the dictatorship, and were buried in graves, many of them mass graves all around the country. So one of our main characters, played by Penelope Cruz, her name is Janice, she asks this archaeologist if he will help her with the excavation of one of these mass graves in the town that she came from. And she believes that her great-grandfather and various other people from the town were buried there after the Franco regime killed them. So, okay, that's fine. And this becomes one strand in the movie Parallel Mothers. But there's another strand which is going on, which is that Janice and this archaeologist fall in love, and she gets pregnant, and she has the baby on her own because she doesn't really want to marry Arturo, which is the archaeologist's name. But in the hospital, she meets another young woman who gives birth just about almost the same moment, and they become very friendly, although after they leave the hospital, they don't remain close friends. But it turns out that there is a very big complication involving these two babies. Without giving away too much here, it turns out that one of the babies was not correctly attributed to the correct mother, and also one of the babies dies. And this creates a very, very strong situation where these two women are involved with each other in ways that one of them understands better than the other, and it has to do with their babies, and it has to do with the baby who died, and I don't want to really reveal much more of that. And as the movie proceeds, these two different strands of plot, the main plot, at least for me it's the main plot, involving the two women and their babies, is intertwined with the other plot about the efforts to excavate this mass grave and unearth certain things that happened in modern Spanish history and that have very strong personal connections to one of the women. So that's what Parallel Mothers is about. And again, it has a sort of a historical plot line, and it has a sort of a very personal plot line. I found the very personal plot line to be more compelling than the historical plot line, but I was just really mesmerized by the way that these two things intertwine over the course of the movie. And above all, I was mesmerized by the magnificent performances, mainly by Penelope Cruz and Melena Smith as the two women, let's just say quite a few others as well. Almodovar is a wonderful filmmaker with a really compelling visual style. The colors, the compositions, just the rhythm and flow of the action are just always engrossing. So it's a movie I really, really do encourage people to seek out and spend time with. It's a beautiful film, a beautiful story, and it has a whole lot to say, not only about Spanish history, but about the history of all kinds of places where oppression reigned in the 20th century, where things have gotten better since then, but there's still a lot of progress to be made, especially in understanding the past. So again, Parallel Mothers is a movie about history and about personal experience, and it's a beautifully, beautifully made movie by the great Pedro, who is, again, one of the great European filmmakers of our time. Our second film, Memoria, comes from the very great Thai filmmaker Apichatpong Weerasethakul, who makes really, really unusual movies, as unusual as his name, I might say. His movies are almost always take some effort to understand, and very often I think they're ultimately not fully comprehensible, because he is a filmmaker and artist who truly loves mystery. But he makes those mysteries compelling, engrossing, and with his greatest films, I always find myself simply just living in the moment without making any great efforts to understand, but just experiencing the films as they unfold moment by moment. His greatest film from several years ago is called Uncle Bunmi, Who Can Recall His Past Lives. And that title alone indicates the kind of mystery and almost supernatural kind of touch with greater dimensions that he almost always engages with in his movies. So Memoria stars Tilda Swinton. So there's an element of the movie that is not particularly mysterious. Tilda Swinton is one of the great actors of our time. And she just appears to be in every other movie that comes out, movies made all over the world. And she's just an astonishing performer. And I just love her work. And she is the star of this movie. And she plays a woman named Jessica. And the movie takes place, by the way, in Colombia, South America. But she is, of course, a Brit, as Tilda Swinton is. Jessica is a Brit. And she is living in Colombia. And at the very beginning of the movie, we see her in bed, and we have a very quiet room. It's dark. It's the middle of the night. She is asleep, and there is no sound whatever on the soundtrack. We just see this woman for quite a while just lying in bed and sleeping, and then all of a sudden, there is a noise, a loud noise, thud, and that noise turns out to be the start of the whole movie because it wakes Jessica up. And she just cannot lose the memory of this astonishing sound that she heard. She just can't. At one point, she describes it in the movie. She says it's like a big concrete ball colliding with a metal wall surrounded by seawater. That's what it sounded like to her. And we heard it at the very beginning of the movie, and we hear it again, because every once in a while, Jessica continues to hear this sound. And she really is desperate now to understand, what was this sound that woke her up in the middle of the night, and that now she seems to hear from time to time, and it's not really clear whether other people can hear it or not. Apparently not. She is apparently the only one who can hear this sound. So, is it a hallucination? Is it a delusion? Is there something wrong with her mental stability? Or is this really some special privilege that she's having? If so, what in the world does it mean? So she tries to understand this, and her first step in that is getting in touch, logically enough, with a sound engineer who becomes an important character in the movie. His name is Hernández. and she and Hernan start investigating this, and he tries to reproduce the sound for her using his equipment, and the two of them are sort of studying different kinds of sounds and trying to come up with the same sound, and eventually they have some success along that line, but she then starts traveling, looking for other possibilities, other ways of understanding this. She ends up going to a little town, a little village off in the middle of the mountains. She meets other people along the way, and all the time, again, it's ambiguous to her, and it's ambiguous to us whether this sound is really real, whether this sound is some sort of delusion or illusion, just what is going on here. This is the sort of mystery that Wirasethakul loves to explore, and he just engrosses us in this movie. I think, I'll give you a little hint of my 10 best list, which I'll be doing probably on our next program. I think that Memoria is probably the greatest movie of this past year, of 2021. It's just an amazing movie. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's superbly acted by Tilda Swinton and a lot of other people who are not as well known to us Americans. And it just has a visual style and a sound design that are just completely engrossing. And I had a wonderful, wonderful time watching it. Now, one more little note about Memoria. It's being released in a very unusual way. Nowadays, a lot of movies are released in theaters. A lot of movies are released streaming video and so forth. Well, Memoria is making itself hard to get. It is playing right now at this, as I speak, in one movie theater in New York City, and it is then going to move around to one movie theater at a time, playing only for 1 week at a time. So look for it in a city or town near you, because eventually the caravan may come around and stop there. And when that happens, by all means, run out and see it, because it's only going to play for a week. I think this is an artificial way of generating buzz around the movie, and I don't really approve of it. It's a fabulous movie, and I think it should be playing in cities all over the place, towns all over the place, so that everybody can see it and have a big good chance to see it. Instead, they're kind of, again, playing hard to get and making you wait for it and making you see it when it happens to be playing near you. Anyway, Memoria is a wonderful movie. Aside from its release pattern, I by all means encourage everybody to make every effort to see it. It's a superb film. And our final movie today, Jill, Jockey, is a whole lot more conventional, but is still a really, really good movie. Directed by Clint Bentley, who also co-wrote it, it stars Clifton Collins Jr. as a jockey, a guy who rides horses. And this is the story of this guy, and he's starting to get a little bit old for this very physically demanding profession, but he's determined to keep at it and to keep going. And it's about his challenges and his very, very powerful relationship with a woman who runs a stable that he's ridden for a long time, and about she comes up with a new horse, which is really a find, and they're delighted with this horse, and he wants to ride this horse in a big race. And he's a really good jockey, and he does a really good job, even though, again, he is getting a little bit old for the profession. Then along comes a much younger man, and he, to the surprise of our main character, whose name is Jackson, this younger man, whose name is Gabriel, announces early in the movie to Jackson, "I'm your son. I'm the son that you never knew. I'm the son that you never raised. I'm the son that you sort of, when you left my mother, you abandoned us, and I have now grown up, and I now am an aspiring jockey. I want to be just like you. I want to be an important, great, wonderful jockey like you." Well, at first, Jackson pushes away this young man, says, "You couldn't possibly be my son." Then he kind of says, "Well, okay, you are my son, but don't expect anything from me." And then he starts to say, "Well, you are my son, and I like you, and you want to be a jockey like me, and I will do what I can to help you." And they develop this very close relationship, and it's a very lovely story in that way, although the course of that relationship between the father and the son, if he really is the son, does not always run smooth. In the meanwhile, the son is rising up the ranks of jockeys. He's starting to be an important jockey. He shows real promise, and the father continues to get a little bit too old. So one of the fascinating things I found about Jockey is, if you're somebody who hasn't thought a whole lot about horse racing over the years, and I've never been a big fan of that particular sport or enterprise, it's just full of interesting lore. There's a lot of emphasis on how physically demanding and physically dangerous being a jockey is. There are scenes when jockeys sit around and just talk about the injuries and the terrible physical ordeals that they've been through. And all the while, of course, our main character, Jackson, is a again, getting a little bit too old, and also he's been injured, and there may now be something really wrong with his health, and he's worried about his own future in the sport at the same time that he's trying to help his young son, if it really is his son, get a foothold in the sport so that he can maybe take over the whatever sort of a crown the father ever had. So it's a story about a father and a son. It's a story about the relationship between the jockey and the woman who owns the stable. And above all, for me, it's just a fascinating look at the world of horse racing and jockeys and what they go through and the dangers they face and the rewards that they can reap if they're successful in it. The main selling point of this movie is a superb performance by Clifton Collins Jr., who's been in about a jillion movies over the years, but he didn't even look familiar to me. He's a guy who can really take on a role, disappear into a role, and I really think that's what he did in this movie, or does in this movie. It's a terrific, interesting drama. Nothing very original about it, but it's beautifully done, beautifully acted, and it takes place in Florida, and there are all of these beautiful Florida sunsets to look at, pretty as a postcard. So that is my mostly positive, enthusiastic story this week, Jill.
For which we thank David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films, Parallel Mothers, Memoria, and Jockey.